Well, hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another conversation on the Level Up podcast. We are a little over a month into our All-Star series. Taylor, how much are you loving this series? Because I am.
I am going to be totally honest. I think this is my favorite thing we've done on the podcast so far, and we're over 150 episodes in. It's been so fun hearing kind of back-to-back weeks of the industry's top, like, leading creatives and hearing their insights and wisdom, because you guys, there's just so much that we can learn from people who are succeeding in this industry. And I'm more than excited for today's conversation with Abby Zhu, because this is a conversation and a topic that we really haven't gotten into very much on the podcast. So I don't want to, no spoilers. I want to save it all for the interview. But how are you, Kelly? You've now filmed a few weddings this season.
Just two. We had one this past Friday. It was super great. It was at a Montage property. The couple and client was really, really sweet. I couldn't say enough good things. Great team. We worked alongside Garrett Richardson, which he has an episode here on our podcast. So if you want to hear from him, you can head over to that one. And yeah, it's been so nice to get into wedding season. We have another one coming up in about a week and a half, and that one's going to be really great as well. It's a legacy client. We shot his sister's wedding, and now he's the groom, and we get to work with the family again. And I think that's one thing that we do a lot of, just because of our brand messaging is so rooted in like tradition and legacy and heirlooms, that we actually do end up shooting a lot of clients within the same family. So it's always really fun.
That's so cool. I love that. I've done a few of those too. And it is so fun to kind of like already know kind of those key players, already have a handle on family dynamics and all of those things. That's so great. I actually just booked a last minute wedding for May, which I'm kind of excited about. At first I thought my season wasn't going to start until kind of like late June, but guys, people are still booking. It's great. Don't sleep on the marketing tactics, because those leads are still coming in for a few months out. So excited about that one. That one's just going to be in Napa, which is like a nice little, you know, hour, 15 minute drive for that particular venue. And it's a Friday wedding too, which I love Friday weddings, because then you still get the whole weekend to spend with the fam.
Yes, I absolutely love it as well. And it is so true. People are booking. I don't know if those listening have noticed the same thing, but yeah, people are booking later and later. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. It can be a little bit scary if you were one that really tracks their numbers and metrics and booking processes and things like that. I just got an inquiry for June, and they just said like June 28th, but they didn't say the year. And then I had to like follow up and say like, oh, for 2024 or 2025, because I feel like it would be super common for someone to reach out at this point in the game for late June and it not feel weird, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. 100%. I feel like everything is a fair game. Even like 2 weeks out, I feel like it's kind of fair game a lot of the time, especially in the higher levels of the industry. People just operate that way. So we are so excited to bring on Abby Zhu today. Getting back to the topic of the episode, she just shed so much light on how she's built her business that's so, so successful. And we know that you guys are going to have so much to learn from this one. If you've ever, ever, ever considered building a team as a wedding photographer or filmmaker. This is the Level Up Podcast. I'm Taylor Paternovich.
And I'm Kelly Gilster of 618 Studios.
And we are on a mission to help wedding filmmakers and photographers level up their businesses so you can make more and work less.
We want to help you confidently take your business from mainstream to luxury, and it all starts right here.
Well, Abby, welcome to the podcast. We are so excited for today's conversation.
Hi, I'm excited to chat with you guys too.
So for those of you who are listening who may not know who Abby is, Abby, would you please give us a brief intro of who you are, what you do, where you're located, all of those good things?
Yeah, totally. My name is Abby Zhu. I own a photography studio with associate photography team, and we're based out of Washington, D.C. I personally have been photographing weddings for 15 years, and I can say that I got my first wedding on Craigslist for the grand price total of $200, including an engagement session. So I started from the bottom, mostly a lot self-taught. And before I did photography, I did pharmaceutical sales, which feels like a completely different background, but actually it was like really good training for owning your own business. We photograph weddings all over the world. Even though we're based in DC, we really don't do that many here. Most are destination, and we love that fashion forward bride.
That's so cool.
Amazing.
I love hearing about like lives too before people have jumped in. We've had people who were graphic designers. We have people who were in sales. My husband specifically was a civil engineer before he jumped on and all that. So, and there's so much that in any career path that you maybe previously took, there's a way that it can blend itself into your photo or video business too. I'd love to hear a little bit about how that's kind of worked. Is it more kind of on the sales front when you're talking to a client?
Yeah, I mean, I think like it is so interesting, like you said, like what was your previous life before this, and how does that shape you? For me, and especially running a studio where we do a good amount of weddings among the photographers, that it's a lot of sales and it's a lot of business development. So I think I learned a lot of that through that prior experience with pharmaceutical sales. And like even just starting out when it was just me, just learning like how to present yourself, and also the art of, if you're being told no, how to not let that get you down.
Oh, it's never fun to hear no. And as you scale in the luxury market, you do hear many more no's. It's just,
It's
you're
true.
not, yeah, you're just not for everybody. So that's a good skill to have too, is being told no and not letting it get to you. So that's so great.
Yeah.
Amazing. So I would love to kind of hear about what your business is looking like now, sitting here. It is April of 2024 at the time of recording. So maybe like a brief overview of how that looks, and then we'll backpedal because I want to hear all about what kind of sparked that idea to formulate a team.
Yeah, so there are three of us on the team right now, and we're currently looking for a fourth, and have been doing lots of applications, looking over things. I do about 10 to 15 weddings per year, and then the Lisa and Kayla do around 20. So we are doing like a large scale of weddings. We try to keep it very, we don't want it ever to feel like a factory. So even though we do a lot, we also personally are a part of all of them in different ways. And what was the rest of the question? Sorry.
No, I think that's great. Just kind of wanting to hear what things are looking like this year. Are you comfortable talking about pricing? Like, I would kind of like to hear about how you charge for your own services, and then if it's the same across the board for your team members, what that kind of looks like.
Yeah, so our pricing is based on our experience and how long we've been photographing. And I would say that we do have like set pricing, but we also know, and especially from years past, that we call it like dynamic pricing. Like sometimes I think about like a hotel in Miami in the win in January, February, it's so busy, but July and August, it's not. So your July and August rates are going to be lower than your January, February. So we're really always like looking at that, because also, there's three of us, and we're very goal oriented. We're doing like monthly meetings to see where we're tracking in our goals. And so our pricing might change. If we're way behind, we might go down to get back up to our goals. So it's really like I would love to say it's like a set pricing, but we want to be successful. We want to shoot the weddings we want to shoot. So it can change, really.
Yeah, I
That's
like hearing
so
that.
great.
I do too, because I think some people feel like once they've raised their prices, it has to be like so stuck. And I was having a conversation with a photographer yesterday where I put together a proposal on video side, and he was kind of saying like, well, like, yeah, like this is what I put together for the proposal, but I also took into account that like I love working with this planner. There's so many things to take into consideration, and I love that you use that analogy. I remember planner Brooke Keegan said something really similar, where she said, like, hotels don't have the same rate year round. So why mm-hmm. does a photography team or a videography team or whoever feel like they have to do the same thing in mm-hmm. March versus August?
Yeah. And I think it's really about like stepping outside of your business and not being so emotional. Like, you know, I was talking about getting told no, like it does hurt because it does feel so personal, but like, it's not really personal. Right. And I feel like pricing can also be a very personal thing. Like, this is what I'm worth. I am worth this amount. And if it's below this, then like, that is not okay. Cause I've been in business for 10 years and da, 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 da. But like, it really is about so many things. And, you know, we've been through the pandemic, we've been through the boom, and now it's leveling off. So during that time, our pricing has changed so much and it's really hard, but it's better to look at it non-emotionally and like a business and not be tied to that pricing.
Yeah. And I think too, like not taking it like as you're a failure in raising your prices too. If it was working for a long time and now it's crickets, like not making those knee-jerk reactions or feeling like you're doing something wrong. Like sometimes the market functions totally separately from you and it has nothing to do with what you're doing. So I think that's so smart. I'm a total numbers person too. Love all the data. So you're speaking my language there. Okay, I would love to hear, because this is so intriguing. You don't see a lot of high-level teams in the industry, especially serving more of that luxury space. So I would love to kind of rewind the clock and talk about what initially sparked that idea or what pushed you to want to create a team when it went just from you shooting weddings to adding that first team member.
Yeah, so I had been doing weddings about 5 years when I was realizing that I had a photographer friend that I just kept sending weddings to. And I realized like in one calendar year before, I don't even know what time of year, maybe it was like mid-year or something, I'd sent her six weddings. Like she had booked six weddings just from weddings that I either was booked on that date or like say, you know, last year would have been a dream wedding. But at that time I was raising my prices so big that, you know, I mean, so vast that this year, it was not what I wanted to do, but last year would have been my dream wedding. So during that time, I had Lisa, who was helping me in the office. And Lisa came to me. She found me through Style Me Pretty, helped me out at a wedding. And I was like, can you help in the office? So she'd been in the office with me, I don't know how long, honestly, like 6 months to a year. And I was like, I think I'm going to ask Lisa if she wants to be a part of the team. And I have always had like really good relationship with planners. They also are like, some of them are my best friends, like genuinely. So I remember one of them at the time had this wedding that she was doing for her boyfriend, now husband's boss. So she was doing it as a favor, but she was going to do full service. It was like just a great wedding. And she's like, they can't pay her rates. And I was like, oh, I think this is going to be great for Lisa. So before I'd even asked Lisa, you know, if she was interested, I already had this like amazing wedding opportunity. And so when I did ask her, she said she was interested. We talked about it and she shot that first wedding, and that's like kind of how it started.
That's so cool. And then has it just kind of organically grown, like adding team members, things like that? Or was that like you were on a mission to build a big high level team?
No. Yeah. I think that, I got very lucky with Lisa. It was very serendipitous because, you know, at the time she was 20 years old. And when I asked her, and I really didn't have this defined set of characteristics like today that we're on a search, we know exactly what we're looking for and who that person, what those characteristics are. But with Lisa, she was in the office and I'm like, great, let's try it. So we have been together, I sound like we're married because we kind of are sometimes, for 10 years, and she is now a business partner. So she has really like helped me shape the business, and we do run the business together because at this level of luxury and how many touch points we need and the number of weddings we do, it does take two people to run this business as well as other people, but Lisa and I are always making the decisions. So from there, I do think like once you start doing more weddings and you're servicing your clients well, then you're going to get more inquiries because I'm at a wedding, Lisa's at a wedding. We're both, you know, having happy clients, happy bridal party, happy vendors. Like we're going to get more leads because we were both in two places on one weekend. So we just started to get more and more and more. And that's how we started to grow as well after that.
Cool. So you just kind of realize like, okay, we're already busy. We're still getting inquiries. So let's just expand and kind of capitalize on this momentum we have.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I mean, I think it's so interesting because I feel like Yeah, like you said, like there's not a lot of people doing it like us, like luxury wedding photography teams. There are a lot of planner teams, which is so interesting. So I think like planner teams can grow, but I'm having trouble conceptualizing, like, I don't think ABG Photography could be a team of 10 or 20. Like, I think we have to stay somewhat smaller, even if we have all this business, just because we don't want it to seem like a factory.
Yeah, kind of maintaining that air of exclusivity too a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, we were saying this before we hit record, but I actually had the opportunity to work with one of your team members at a wedding late last year, and it was so fun. And I was like totally picking her brain about how the whole thing worked, and it's so fascinating to me. It sounds like you might be similar, but I'm definitely more of like a business-minded person with a creative skill who has learned how to build a business around that skill. It sounds like maybe that's something that you resonate with, but the idea of like maximizing revenue and all those things and building a successful brand, it's so interesting to me when you see people doing it outside of what would be considered maybe like the norm or like the industry standard. Do you get a lot of people coming to you kind of like asking how you built things? Like, I feel like you're an authority in the space.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it is really interesting because I definitely look at it as a business. And I would say, are you business or creative minded? Like, business minded is definitely like my stronger suit more than creative. And so I think Lisa is a mix of both, but also very good at business. But I think the other team members we look to add are more creative focused, and like they really are happy, being working on their craft and getting better, and not as much worrying about business. But we do have kind of like a misconception as we've been looking for our next team member that it is something where you don't have to work hard. Like, oh, I want to do this, but I don't want to work hard. That's not what we're looking for. And I think there was something earlier you mentioned too, like we do have you, if you are, serious about becoming a team member, you do have to shut down your previous business. And that is because, like, we're going to take your life, not in the fact that, like, you are only going to be able to work, but like, you want to be able to have to w work and you want to have a personal life. And like, that other business just will not sustain because, luckily, we do have a lot of interest and inquiries that we can fill your calendar. And, we want someone that wants to really grow and learn. We're literally packing for Engage right now, and all three of us are going to photograph Engage. So we do want someone that works hard, but really just wants to hone their craft and not worry about like a lot of business development.
Okay, that's so great. This is such a great segue because I knew I wanted to ask what your team members are responsible for. So obviously you and Lisa are the exception. You're running the business, but your existing third team member and the future fourth. So what is their like what do their tasks look like? Are they on their own, like on their own sales calls, or are they literally just like showing up and shooting, or are they editing? I don't know. What does that look like?
Yeah, it's like a hybrid. So as far as sales calls, like Lisa and I do the initial call just because we need to understand what like their budget is and where they fit in with our team. And then if it say it's a good fit, I do the call and I say, oh, it's a good fit for Kayla, then Kayla will do a proposal review call and get to know them and go over like the proposal with them. So she doesn't do the initial calls, but then she does. Excuse me, she does bond with them over that second phone call. So that's how that works as far as if it's not a planner lead. And then everyone is responsible for calling and editing. We do have like, the editing that we use. We have very streamlined stuff, so that helps. We also have a office manager and a virtual assistant. We have someone who does gifting, social media. So we have these teams behind. So like, it sounds so easy to like onboard a client, but I would say it's like 30 minutes of office work just in one time. So like our office and virtual assistant help us with that, as well as lead management. I mean, since we are running a team that can hold, four people's full calendars, we get luckily a lot of inquiries, but that also is a lot of time. So the virtual assistant helps with all of that as far as like helping to answer them, but also make them personal and follow up and helping us with all that stuff. So they are responsible for, once they talk to the client and the contract is signed, that is their client. And we have, a workflow that they follow to stay in touch. It changes based on planner, but we have them in touch with the client through the whole way through.
Okay, this is so fun to hear because our general audience, they're, you know, owner operators, they're just getting started. They're maybe charging between that like 3 to 6,000, very much so like wearing all the hats in their businesses. Mm-hmm. And I love hearing people who have built this team to sustain the growth and to sustain your lives so that it doesn't literally take over every waking second. Because mm-hmm. I know even Kelly and myself, we get asked, because we have Level Up, we run our own studios, things like that. And we get asked all the time, like, how do you do it all? And we're like, we don't do it alone, guys. Like, yeah. We literally have so much help. Like, people can look like such superheroes on the internet, but just know right. that there's always a team behind them. Yeah. So it's
so much of a team.
Yes. So encouraging to hear. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of SOPs just because that helps. But, you know, that helps like with our, not the team members, but like our support team doing the stuff in the background for us. So everything is uniform. Everything feels like the way we want it to feel. Like I said, like, even though we do a lot, we don't want it to feel like it's a factory. So it's like, you know, our virtual assistant might draft the email for us, like what we usually send at that point of time, but then we'll go back and personalize it and talk about things that we've had on our sales call with them, or, you know, reference their dress. So it doesn't feel like here's this canned email. Like, we will make sure that it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah, so which fun. Is something you definitely have to do, like, in the luxury space, is like nothing canned, nothing really feeling too automated. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a question I have. Okay, so if someone's listening and they either have a team or they're hearing all of this and they're really inspired and they were like, I want to build a team. I think that a lot of times what we've seen is people building out teams maybe a little bit too soon in their business, or building out a team in a way where it almost waters down their brand. What would be your biggest piece of advice for someone who wants to build a team and how to maintain that high level of service and high quality of customer service?
So I'd say, as far as like attracting that client, because I feel like that is a big concern. They're like, oh, you know, I'm at this price point and my team member is down here. Like, I don't want to make it seem like that I'm photographing these lower weddings or whatever. So, I mean, one of the things I would say, a piece of advice would be to have like a clearly defined ideal client, so that really the only things we post on social media are ones that are our ideal client. And sometimes it's mine and sometimes it's not. Like, sometimes, you know, I might love the couple and they are so happy with their photos, but like, it just wasn't a wedding that like I would want to do again, or, you know, attract that same client. We're not going to post that. And so it's really too very interesting, because even though we have different price points, I think our ideal client exists in all of them, honestly, because sometimes they may not spend a lot as much on photography, but they might spend a lot on their dress and their multiple outfits and a stylist and, you know, a lot of other things. So we're having a lot of fun photographing this amazing wedding, even though they didn't pay my rate. So that would be on our Instagram, most likely. So I think like one of the big things is to make sure that you're very particular about what you show. And if you have doubts that it is your ideal client, like, do not post that. So that was one of the ways that I feel like we were able to maintain quality and luxury. What were your other questions? Sorry.
Yeah. Like, just like, I think it was that, what would be your biggest piece of advice? Because I do think, and I love what you said, is that you have to be so careful about what you post, because I think that a lot of times when there is someone who has, it's them and then they have a team, they are watering down the brand maybe with what everybody is going off and shooting. And then you kind of just end up with this like kind of messy juxtaposition of no real vision or mission within your brand. So that's so smart that like you really have to do the hard work to establish upfront, just your brand identity, that ideal client. And then if you really remain true to that, then it's all going to fall in place and keep the brand pushing forward in, you know, scaling farther and farther within the market. So I think that's so smart.
And I think it's interesting too, because some people do have like the misconception, like, oh, if you're photographing expensive weddings, that means that's your ideal client all the time. And it really isn't. And it really is like all over as far as what they're paying for photography, in my opinion, of what that ideal wedding looks like. It could be very different. So in essence, you know, because we are so tight with it, then we're hopefully then ideally getting more of those ideal weddings, and then it just grows the business.
Yeah. So kind of still staying on the topic of social media, I've noticed that some of your team members may have their own Instagram handles. How does that work tying back to your brand? And how have you found that to be beneficial?
Yeah, so Lisa's the one that actually noticed that, is that it is important for every team, like the team members, to have their own Instagram, because we all know now, like, Instagram serves as basically your website, or, you know, your storefront per se. So I think that people will, you know, maybe find us at Abby Jew. And then when we, like, you know, do a sales call and talk about how, you know, this is a great fit for Lisa, then they're going to go to Lisa's page and see her stuff. And then then she's going to be validated through that Instagram.
I have noticed, like you said, like we noticed that a lot of planners will build larger teams, and we have seen that done in the planner world, where it'll be the planner team members have their own Instagram handle. But it's so interesting to see it done from a photography perspective. And I think it's really cool, because I think that, you know, this may, like, pave the way for people to build really successful brands in a way that's very unique and new to the industry, because the high level part is what sets you apart. But I think the more people see you having success in it and can see maybe, like, what you're doing and start emulating what you're doing, we'll see more people have that same success, which is really exciting for all of the business minded people out there who are never maybe satisfied with the way things are currently.
Yeah, I feel like I definitely have seen a lot more teams, and I do have, like, a lot of friends that ask me about things, contracts, and, you know, failures that I've learned from, things like that.
Okay, so Abby, I did have one question, because I noticed on your website you are very public facing with your team, and that you have a team. But I also know some people in the luxury space that they don't, like, publicly say that they have a team, but they do have associates, like, privately, that they'll have conversations maybe with planners. What is the benefit of, like, being more public about it or being more private about it? Do you feel like there's a right or a wrong way?
I think it's just really about what fits you. I decided to do it because I wanted my team, I wanted people to go to the website or our Instagram and know that we have a team. I don't want it to be hidden, because then they're more likely to trust them and know that they're, like, this amazing photographer. And, you know, like, I think our business is a little bit different than others sometimes, in the fact that, you know, when you come onto our company, you dissolve your company. So they are a full-time employee, like, literal W-2, we have 401k, like, we are, you know, really a true company together. So I do want them to be seen so that they can book their weddings and book at a higher rate. I feel like if you just have yourself and you don't have the names and the faces, then I feel like there would most likely be a ceiling of what you can charge. And I also feel that possibly the team members aren't as loyal, just because they don't feel that, like, sense of community. I do say, you know, there is the risk that when someone leaves, it feels more public, and that's true. So that's the risk that you take.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I was just always so curious, because we had someone on previously that I had no idea that they had an associate team. And then as we got talking about it, they said, like, oh, yeah, you know, me. And then for associates, it's starting at this. And I'm like, oh, I had zero idea that you even had associates.
And usually, honestly, I mean, I don't know who, but, like, when they say that and they have their teams, it might be someone of, like, that does have their other company. And they're like, hey, I have this lead, do you want to do it? And it's not as, like, you know, as streamlined and, like, not the same, I'd say, as ours, where it is, like, someone who is a full-time employee who is ingrained in the company.
Yeah. Okay, I have a quick question. So, kind of talking about building loyalty within your team, I would love to hear a bit about how you kind of foster that loyalty. Like, it's a big ask to have someone dissolve their own company that they've worked so hard to build, but obviously the payoff is well worth it if they're willing to do it and work with you. So, what is that kind of, like, company culture or loyalty building kind of mentality that you have?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I, you know, as we're interviewing right now for our fourth person, I do see these people struggling, you know, to dissolve their business. It's something that's so tied to their identity. And so it is hard. So I completely understand it's a big ask and a big decision to to be able to do that. I mean, for us, like, I think that, we're always listening and trying to figure out what motivates each team member to make them happy, so that it is like a working environment they want to be a part of. For example, like I know Kayla loves to learn and she likes to hone her craft. So she will do, educational courses and then teach us what she learns, or just really focus on that while we're running the business. So I think it's really about listening to your team members and seeing what motivates them to keep them happy, and also the flexibility we can give by like having this support team in place, that they're not doing all of this paperwork and, all of the invoicing or whatever, is helpful as well. And I think also like a guaranteed income that you do have, like year after year, you're going to make money. And it's, I mean, obviously we're not in the business of reoccurring clients, really, like as a photographer, but because we have such an established brand, like you never really have an off year.
Yeah, those are all great. Do you guys all go into the office every day? Are we all working from home in sweatpants? Like, what does that kind of look like on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, we do that. The currently me, myself, Lisa, and Kayla all live locally, so we do have office days. We have them about 2 days a week, which is awesome. I feel like it really does help our company culture and figuring out just how to be a uniform. And, like if you're talking to me or talking to Lisa, that it feels the same through emails and through the whole ex client experience. So we do have those 2 office days a week that are, I think, very vital to our company culture.
Yeah, I love that. I think that, through the pandemic and everyone getting used to working from home, like we kind of lost that human connection. And I feel like that's part of feeling emotionally attached to something is that like the emotional skin in the game of friendship and camaraderie and having coworkers. So I think that's really great. And something that I kind of wish, I had. Kelly and I live, we're both in California, but through Level Up, like we live, it's a 7-hour drive, so we don't get
Right.
to see
Probably
each
don't
other
see each
very
other.
often.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so as you're building out your team, and you've talked a lot about like you have certain qualifications, but more importantly, characteristics that you're looking for in someone. Can you walk us through what those are, what you're really looking for, what's worked really well and served the brand really well?
Yeah, I think one of the things is, I think mentioned before, is just really being into the craft and the art of photography and really always wanting to get better. And I think like the culture that Lisa and I have built is that we like it's hard to rest and be like, oh, we made it. Like we never feel that way. So we're always striving to get better. It's always like wanting to go to that next level. And so someone that wants to be a part of that culture as well, that doesn't want to just sit and be like, oh, I did a great job. We're always like going over what we could have done better. I mean, obviously we're talking about the wins, but we're also talking about what we could have done to give like a better experience or to get a better picture in this situation. So I think that's like really important, that someone that always wants to get better. I think that it's also someone who isn't like, I think you can make good money working for our team, but if it's really the only focus is that you want to make a lot of money, that is not a good fit for us, because it just then your goals are about making money and it's not about getting better at your craft. And so that's something that's really important too, that you're not just money driven. And also, like I said earlier, it's not that you're just coming on because it's going to be easier. We work really hard and we do a lot of other stuff besides just weddings, like networking events that we're photographing or that we're putting on. And so the team is expected to be a part of that. And that is something that will then further help the team members' bookings as well. But it's not just like you show up and you get all these weddings. Like you do have to put in that effort because the planners want to have a relationship too and understand and know and trust that person. So that takes facing time within the industry.
Yes. Okay. So this is sparking something I remember seeing on your Instagram maybe 2 years ago, year and a half ago. Please correct me where I go wrong here. But did you co-host like an ornament exchange with Lauren Press? Okay. Yeah. I would love to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, honestly, it started off this year. We're planning it and it's our 10th year, which is like insane. And it started off 10 years ago, obviously, but it was in my living room of my townhome. And Lauren has always been a great friend of mine. So we just decided to like host our friends for an ornament exchange party. And then it just kept getting bigger and bigger every year. She moved into a bigger townhome. So we moved to her house. And then I moved into a house. So then we tented the backyard. And then I was like, this is just too big for like my backyard. We started hosting it at a hotel. So every year it's gotten bigger and bigger. Just like, you know, I was saying with the goals of the company, we never just rest with where we are. So I feel like the ornament exchange is like that too. But I love it. It's a fun industry event. And it's something cool that I think, you know, our local DC people look forward to, but then we've also started to make it a more national thing and partnering with these hotels, and every year it gets bigger.
That's so fun. I think it's really cool to see people who think outside the box when it comes to building those relationships, or even like it's becoming ingrained in your brand. So like kind of on the flip side, I don't know if you know Chris with Storybox Cinema. Yeah. So he hosted like his huge 30th birthday. And I think it's really cool to like take charge of like creating those spaces for the industry. And those ideas are so fun and people really love it. I think, especially when it's something outside of something like Engage is obviously great and we love it, but just something a little different.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting too. You know, we are photographers, videographers, we're downstream from the planners. And so obviously a lot of our business comes from planners. So I also like to think of it as like, how can I not just be another photographer? How can I give back to that relationship? So is it throwing this amazing party? Is it trying to refer them? Like, I understand like the planner is the boss of the day and they are referring me, but I also try to think of it in a way that like I can be an asset to them.
Yeah, that's so great. And that's really where you find like longevity and true relationships and not just those quick wins.
Yeah. And I think that when we hear about planners being like, oh, everyone like, you know, hits me up and like wants to work with me and stuff like that, it's obviously true. Like people want to work with planners, but how can you provide value to them that it doesn't feel like, you know, a blanket email or something like that? How are you going to have that genuine relationship?
Well, this has been honestly so mind-blowing for me. Taylor, do you have any other questions?
I don't know. I feel like, honestly, I think this was pretty thorough. So I hope the listeners agree.
Yeah, it's just so cool to see someone who's like doing something outside of the norm, absolutely crushing it, like almost like a unicorn of the industry in this, because we get a lot of our students who like either have a team and it's just like not built out in the way that's going to sustain growth and resonate with like working alongside planners or working alongside like high wealth clientele, but you've done that. And so I hope that people who are listening and, you know, want to build out that team really take a lot of your, I'm sure there's a lot of takeaways that they're getting from this. And it's really cool to see that you guys have found so much success in it, that you're so passionate about it, and it's something that you really believe in.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Amazing. So if people who are listening to this have not already found you online, where can they go give you a follow, say hi in the DMs, whatever it may be?
Yeah. I mean, the best place, obviously Instagram at Abby Jew. And that is like the company team's Instagram where you'll find all of our work.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been so wonderful. And we hope that we get the chance to connect again in the future.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us in today's conversation. Please help us reach more filmmakers and photographers like you by taking a screenshot and sharing it to social media. And don't forget to tag us at The Level Up Co.
And join us again next week, same time, same place, as we continue to level up the industry together.